I'm going to start the sermon off this morning. I've been gone for 3 weeks. I've stored up a lot of stuff, and I've been gone, and I want to share some things with you. And it's going to be kind of a strange couple of verses I'm going to put up. But I'm going to start with a verse out of Matthew chapter 23. And again, bear with me now. I haven't lost my mind. I'm not going to preach condemnation to the wonderful saints in our congregation here, but I want to make a point about something. Jesus said this in Matthew 23:25, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees," and everybody else, say that rest of that word with me. What's that word? "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees." Now that's not nice, is it? Would you call that nice? But was it true? Was it true? "For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence." Teresa and I went to Sun Valley Community Church for the third time during this period of time. I think that was during the baseball time. And this is our third time going. And I want everybody to hear this as clearly as I can say this. I am 100% behind what they're doing. Now, they're known as a seeker church, is what they're known as. And in the three services that we've gone to, I've never heard one derogatory comment made about anything going on in our world. Not one. Now, the reason that is, or the reason that plays out that way, in my opinion, is because you can't have a mass church, a large church like that, unless you play it safe. On some level. Just hear me out now. And I want everybody to hear me again. I believe in absolutely what's going on there. Those people are ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're ministering the gospel of grace. They're acclimating people to the good news of Jesus Christ. But they're not stepping on any toes. I'm here to tell you that God didn't call me to do that. I had to go a long way to get there. But I'm here to tell you that God didn't call me to do that. So I want to make a couple of more observations, but I'm going to bring it back up with a verse. So I want you to hear something else, Jesus. And there's another point I want to make. Jesus says this in the next verse up there, Jamin. You get the honor of saying this one. "Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell?" Now, if you're tuning in by radio or internet and that's the first thing you've heard, you missed the first part of this, and you got to hear the rest of this. This is not a sermon you preach to the born-again, spirit-filled church. You don't do it. There's so many ministers out there that think their job is to condemn you all. You're not supposed to be condemned. You're not condemned. Jesus said, "He that believes in me is not condemned." I'm not here to preach condemnation to the saints. And anybody that's preaching condemnation to the saints don't understand the gospel. But I am called to tell the world what they're doing is not godly. I am called to that. I am called to minister to the unsaved and to the lost and tell people that you need to know Jesus Christ and get your life together through him. And so I said all that to tell you that our country is a mess. And the primary reason that we're a mess, several reasons, but the primary reason is because we have no moral leadership. We have absolutely no moral leadership. The man that's in office right now is morally bankrupt. He is corrupt. He is evil. He is a liar. He tells lie after lie after lie. When he's the supposed leader of your nation, then you can't expect people to do anything and rise to that level. When Ronald Reagan was president, he loved God, and people generally, vast majorities of people, rose to that level. Y'all listening to me? Now I want to say something else, and this is where I'm going to lose a bunch of people. But I want to say something else too. I don't have any respect for Donald Trump. I don't have any respect for him. Now listen to me very carefully. I shouldn't use that. I shouldn't say I don't have any respect for him, but I wish Donald Trump would bow out Because a couple of things. Number one, what they're doing to him is brutal and sick and demonic. And nobody deserves that kind of treatment. But I listened to an interview he had with Tucker Carlson, and Donald Trump loves himself. And we need to get somebody in there that loves people a little bit. And here's where he lost me. And again, he's probably going to be the nominee. I want to make sure I get all this said. He's probably going to be the nominee for the Republican Party. And if it came down to Donald Trump or Joe Biden, I'd vote for Donald Trump 5 million times. I'm telling you, I'm not just speaking out of turn. You could go ahead and shoot me if you said I had to vote for Joe Biden. So I will vote for Donald Trump if he's the nominee. But I'll tell you where he lost me and where I quit and respected him. And I heard this interview. I don't like the fact that he makes fun and talks bad about Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis is a morally quality man. And if he was a morally quality man, he would not say bad things about him and just let people know what he stands for. And the only people that Donald Trump likes are people that like him. And the only people that he promotes in the Republican Party are people that like him. And that's not leadership. Leadership requires you to do the right thing for everybody. And don't be calling Ron DeSantis Ron DeSanctimonious. And I heard him talk to Tucker Carlson. He don't have any ideas. But the thing about him that is okay, and if we have to go with it, we'll go with it, is at least he understands the deep state and the corruption and the industrial military complex, and he understands about tax cuts, and he understands he does have a proclivity towards Christian beliefs. He honors Christians. Joe Biden wouldn't know anything about Christianity no more than a Santa Claus on Mars. Are you with me? But I wanted to say all that. And it's so sad that our country with 300 plus million people in it, that it could come down that we have two choices, a senile, corrupt politician or a egomaniac that loves himself, and then if he gets elected, we're going to go through the same thing for 4 more years. Am I clear on that? Does everybody understand that I'm pro-Trump if it comes down to nobody else, but I don't have respect for him in the sense that he's all about himself? Somebody said, these things don't need to be talked about in church. They do at Life in Christ Church. Okay? Thank God for what Sun Valley Church is doing. Thank God for these churches that are getting 10, 15,000 people to come to hear the gospel, to hear the good news. They're getting all kinds of people out of religion, if you will, but they're not offending anybody. And I think what they hope, and because these people love God, I'm telling you, and these people, Brian, these people, you're talking about preachers. They don't ever say amen or oh me or nothing. They just, I mean, it's just there. It's coming out. You know, I mean, every now and then I have to stop and think. It's quality stuff, but they're not offending anybody. And if you offend somebody, you'll never have a large church. See, I've offended a bunch of people this morning. I've already offended a bunch of people this morning, but I got to tell people how I really believe and what I really think. And it makes me sad to know that probably a good chance Joe Biden doesn't even run. I mean, every day, the senility every day gets worse and worse and worse. But it's so sad that we have to go to the voting booth and hold our nose while we vote for who's going to run our country, because we need some moral leadership. Don't we, Maria? Don't we need some moral leadership? People that will lead us and that will like everybody, respect everybody. And these people up there, one other thing, these people up there that are senile and 80 years old, and I don't care what you are, Mitch McConnell has no business doing anything. Dianne Feinstein is ridiculous. It's pitiful. It's pitiful. Okay. Amen. Am I in good company? What did Jesus call the religious leaders and these people were the religious leaders of the Jewish people. They were really the leaders of the Jewish people because the Jews were religious. They were possessed by religion. They were their leaders. And what did Jesus say to them? Serpents, brood of vipers. How can you escape the condemnation of hell? So, again, Jesus had to point out some things. And I think as long as you're God called and God ordained, there's a place where you have to point out things, and you have to say that it's absolutely morally corrupt to want to have a child's sex change. That's morally corrupt. That's bankrupt. That's demonic. It's wrong to want to lust after people of the same sex. It's wrong. Hear me out on this. We're not talking to the church. I'm getting ready to minister to the church that's here today, and I'm going to minister grace. I'm going to minister faith. I'm going to minister love. And if you're a minister of the gospel and your congregation are believers, quit condemning them. If I hear that word repent anymore, don't condemn the saints, condemn the world. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, that was the thing I wanted to get off my chest. And so we're going to do part three this morning of Christ the Healer. We'll probably take a break from this next week, and I'll do something relative to the anniversary. I might come up with some kind of top 10 list or something. But anyway, we're going to talk about Christ the Healer, and we're going to talk about the healing of the centurion's servant. It's a good Bible lesson to talk about in relation to Communion Sunday. So let's pick it up in Matthew 8, and it starts in verse 5. And then I also want to do this while I'm doing, while we were on our vacations, I pulled out one of my favorite books and read it and got a lot out of it. So if anybody hadn't read this book, if you would like to, I'll give this to you. And then I keep about 5 or 10 of these under my desk at all times because I got tired of trying to talk people into telling them God didn't make them sick. So I just hand them a book. Amen. And let me say something else too before we get into it. Good. So I went out to Teresa's office. She had to sign some paperwork for me. And I walked into the office, and this lady, and I didn't realize she was she's a little woman. I remembered her differently. She came up to me. She said, "Mark?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "You sure are good looking." I said, "I know." But no, she said, she said, "Mark, I just want you to know that every Sunday morning I listen to the radio program, and I send the link to my 2 kids, and they listen to the program." And I thought, well, I said, "You know, my opinion of you has just shot through the roof. I mean, I don't know what Teresa's paying you, but you're going to get a raise." And then the lady that's on the phone or sitting on the desk by the phone, she says, I listen every Sunday to the program. I'm telling you, the radio program bears fruit. We would love to know how many people actually click on the website and listen to the sermons from the website. I'd love to know. But anyway, I thought I'd throw that in for free. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, that was his hometown. That's where he moved to after he was raised in Nazareth, and then he moved to Capernaum. A centurion came to him, pleading with him. There's some good information in here now. Verse 6, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." Think about that for a minute now. Think about that. Catch this now. And then remember this whenever we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that the book of Hebrews says that Jesus is the exact representation of God. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." I'm an exact representation. If you want to know how God would react to any situation, you got to look at the life of Jesus. So having said that, was God displeased when Jesus called those Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees? Was he displeased when he called them serpents? No, because he always did what the Father said to do. Amen. There is a place for correction, especially among the ungodly. So he says, he's tormented. He's dreadfully tormented. Think about that. And verse 7 says, now listen, this is what religion teaches. Here's what religion teaches, verse 7 says. And Jesus said to him, "Well, you know, you don't ever know what God's going to do. Maybe God's using that, you know, to bring him closer." Closer to what? If you're dreadfully tormented and you're in pain all the time, it's closer to cussing. Can I get an amen, guy? When something don't work, something hurts, you're not happy about it. You're sad. You want relief. You want to get rescued. Jesus said to him, now, "I'll come, but you know it might not be God's will. You know, because he might have sin in his life." Well, if God's waiting to help us till we get all the sin out of our life, we're all going to die. And we ought to die with boils on our head and our feet. See, it's a misunderstanding. It's a total misunderstanding. Again, persecution is going to come because of this. Because, see, that's another thing. Nobody talks about God wanting to heal you. The mainstream church teaches that God's using all these things, and he's behind all this, but he isn't behind it. So Jesus, what did Jesus say? What was Jesus' answer? Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Say that, everybody. I will come and heal him. Think about that. So God said, I'll come and heal him. God said it. I'll come. Somebody said, how come he's not healing like that today, or how come we don't see the manifestation? It's so obvious if you just can think and meditate on it. It's because we don't believe it. It's because we're not going to him with that level of confidence and that level of trust. Because I'm going to get to the end of this, and you're going to find out what Jesus says to the centurion. Verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, by the way, this was a Gentile. This was not a Jew, so he wasn't bound up by religion. He wasn't bound up by Christian religion. He wasn't told all of his life because you don't go to church, you don't pay your tithes, you don't respect the preacher, you don't respect the preacher's wife, you don't respect the sovereignty of God. No. This was a Gentile. He didn't know all that. He just knew his servant was dreadfully tormented, and he knew that Jesus Christ was going about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. Remember now, in this series here, I mean, we're at overflow, but we'll find a seat for anybody that's sick. If you got somebody you know that's sick, this is a good place to bring them. Amen? The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. Wait a minute here. But only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. Say that with me. But only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. Now, I'm going to tell you right now what we're going to talk about today, and you're going to find all kinds of things in Matthew's gospel. And it was fascinating when I read that book, God Wants You Well. I hadn't read it for several years. It's fascinating. Scriptures that Andrew Womack uses in that book is almost exclusively the same scriptures I'm giving you out of Matthew. So I knew this stuff. It's just good to hear it again and again and again and again. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So this is the best way to get something from God. I mean, you can wait for the manifestation. Remember the guy that was in John chapter 5 at the pool of Bethesda, something like that, Masada, Manuna, Potato. Remember, he'd been there crippled, and an angel would come down and stir the water, and the first person that got in the water would be healed. Remember that? And Jesus came to him and said something real interesting. I'm not turning there because of time. Jesus said something interesting to him. He said, do you want to be better? You know, that's a legitimate question, because you can get used to being bad or feeling bad. You can get used to it. You can just accept it. And he said, do you really want to be better? And the guy whined and complained a little bit. He said, you know, every time I want to go down there and get in the water, somebody beats me to it. What did Jesus say to him? Rise and walk. See, speak a word and my servant will be healed. Rise and walk. And that rascal rose up and walked. And you know what else he did? He turned his back on Jesus. He went and told the Pharisees who healed him on the Sabbath. Not nearly as honorable as the blind man that was healed in chapter 9. The blind man that was healed in chapter 9 didn't turn his back on Jesus. He defended Jesus because they wanted to know who healed you on the Sabbath. And they even called his parents in and said, who healed you on the Sabbath? They said, we don't know. They're scared, see. They said, we don't know. Go ask somebody else. Go ask him. We don't know. Ask him. He's of age. And they asked him again, who healed you? He said, I don't know. He said, but they said Jesus was a sinner, something like that. And he said, I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but I can sure see today. And Jesus found him and said, do you believe in the Messiah? And he said, I do. No record of this guy in chapter 5 getting saved. He did get healed, though, and he got healed by the Word of God. He got healed by the word of God. See, put up 1 Peter 2:24, Jamin. I want to show you where we're going with this today during Communion Sunday. See, he said, only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Look at here. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. Listen to this. By whose stripes you were healed. That's a word. That's the word of God. I don't have time to show you, but I can show you in Scripture that the epistles are the word of God. It's inspired by God himself. This is just as sure a word as what Jesus spoke to the centurion. It's just as sure a word as what he spoke to the man at the pool of Bethesda. It's just as sure a word as what he said to the blind man in John chapter 9, by whose stripes you were healed. You know what you got to do? You got to faith activate it. You got to activate it by faith, and faith is activated by words. So you got to say, by his stripes, I am healed. So why don't we just say that right now while we're in this? By his stripes, I am. That's a word. If it worked for the centurion servant, it'll work for me. God's no respecter of persons. Can I get an amen? Amen. Go back to the story. Go back to the story. Jamin, we left off in verse 8, didn't we? Now go to verse 9. For I also am a man under authority. Boy, listen to that word right there now. Say that word, authority. See, God's, you got to understand this. God has to work through people. He has to. He created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, and he turned it over to man. So everything God does, he has to do it through a man. That's why Jesus had to become a man. He had to become the second Adam, because the authority that was placed in this earth was placed in man's control. Man gave it over to the devil. Jesus came and whipped the devil, took the keys of hell and death, and he gave us his authority. Come on, that's a good place for an amen. Amen. Now, I'm not as good as those Sun Valley preachers. I do need a few amens. And I do need to stop and pause. But that's the truth. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. See, this is a great Bible lesson right here, a great truth right here. See, we're waiting for God to do something, and God's waiting for us to do something. God's already done everything he needs to do. Say that with me. God's already done everything he needs to do. He's not got anything else to do. Jesus said, it is finished. You are complete in him. Amen. Now, let me say this to you, too. I talked about this with James when we came out and did our programs in the kitchen. You know, I minister to me as well as I'm ministering to you. You know that? I listen to these sermons, and I'm like, man, who's doing that? And I'm thinking, well, that's me. But it's God speaking through me. It is. Amen. And it's God speaking through you. And I need to hear this stuff as much as anybody else. And that's why faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're not exercising our God-given authority. That's why it's not working. We're still going to God about the mountain instead of going to the mountain about God. Oh, I've been reading that book. Amen. Good stuff. You see that? Verse 10. Oh, man. When Jesus heard it. Now, you know that's God manifested in the flesh. When God heard it, he marveled. He marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Another great Bible lesson. I'm tempted in our 27-year anniversary, I'm going to come up with some favorite revelations or something. But remember this now. Let's study this. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith. See that word, great faith? See, the devil's going to trick you and tell you, well, see, you don't have great faith like the centurion. Yes, you do. Don't forget this. These are things that I've learned and they're worth writing down. Faith is not measured by how much you have. Faith is measured by how much you use. Don't ever forget that. See, faith works the same. See, it wasn't that this guy had some supernatural abundant faith. It's that he exercised the faith that he had. And all of us have the ability to do that. You see that? Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. What does God call great faith? Somebody who starts exercising authority. Somebody who starts believing the word of God. Somebody that doesn't need to see it with their feelings or with their five physical senses. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not perceived by the five physical senses. If you're waiting to be able to see it or touch it or taste it or feel it, you won't have it, because it's impossible to please God without faith. Good to be back. I like Tampa, Florida, but they didn't let me preach anywhere that Sunday morning down there on the beach. I should have maybe just started preaching down there. The first thing I'd have preached on is, can you girls start wearing bathing suits again? Praise God. They're not covering anything up, Jerry. And thank God me and Jordan, we're sanctified. We did like this the whole time. I pointed out the fact that they don't wear bathing suit bottoms anymore. Teresa said, how do you know? She said, how do you know? I said, that lady over there, she's tempting me. It's her fault. It's that woman's fault. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But we got through it, didn't we, Jordan? I would love sometimes to know what's going on in that brain right there. Huh? That is a true statement, though, Jerry. It's sad. Now, guy's going to run right on down to Florida right after this. All right. Somebody said, this is not church. Yeah, it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be able to talk about all this kind of stuff. That's the problem. We left it up. Let me go on a little tangent here. Man, we left it up to the education system. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. Have I offended everybody? Let me get this out. Oh, that's the most dangerous place in the world. I mean, the head of the teachers union, that lady right there, is a emissary of the devil. Can I get an amen or an oh me? Praise God. I'm trying to get it to where children don't even have to tell their parents that they're thinking about changing their sex. Don't even have to go to their parents. They voted that into law in California. And then they're talking about this Gavin Newsom maybe running for president. President of what? Ethiopia? Anybody in their right mind would vote for a man that ruined the whole state? And you know what's sad? He could win. Because some women's going to look at him and say, oh, he's good looking. Yeah, he's good looking. The devil's good looking. That don't make him good. Bible says he's an angel of light. You listening to me? That's what ruined him, by the way. He thought he was so pretty. God made man in his image, and he got jealous. Amen. Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Verse 11. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Boy, there's some rich stuff in there. There's some Old Testament rich stuff in there. How many of you know anything about Jacob? Not the greatest human being that ever lived. Are you listening to me? Abraham, he turned on his wife twice, offered her up to two men. Twice. Are you listening to me? You know why they're in the kingdom of heaven? Because they believed in the grace of God, and they believed in the prophet that would come. They knew that Jesus was going to come and get them out from under the rotten, stinking world, and they weren't in love with the world. Amen. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 12. But the sons of the kingdom. Boy, here he goes again. Man, you can't offend anybody, can you? You can't offend anybody, can you? Can you offend some people? Yeah. Am I supposed to offend the church? No. Am I supposed to encourage the church? Yes. Am I supposed to correct the church occasionally? Yes. Let me say it like this. Am I supposed to correct me occasionally? Always. But it's perfectly fine to let the world know that, listen to me now. Listen to me. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know what that means? They're going to go, man, I didn't realize that. Jesus told the truth. You know, those people that standing before God today that's going, oh, gosh, what I heard on the radio was true. I should have listened to that fella. I never did like him on the golf course, but I should have listened to him. Amen. There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And, you know, every generation of preachers, Jerry's been around longer than any of us, in the glory of God, and every preacher in every place you ever went, they always said that this is the last days. Am I right? Every decade that would come was going to be the last decade. And we thought for sure 2000 was the end because, you know, Y2K, I mean, my God, everything's going to crash. Somebody made billions of dollars on that lie. But I got to tell you something. I'm in the camp right now that I'm telling you right now, I believe the return of the Lord is imminent. Because I think it's gotten so corrupt and so evil that it's got to be. And they had a big earthquake in Morocco, and they're talking about some other new virus that's coming around. And you'll have to shoot me if you're going to put any kind of medicine in my body from them dudes. Don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching real good. I'm in the camp that I believe now we're way closer than we were, which every day that comes by, you're closer, but Jesus is coming, and it might be today. And the book of Revelation says, even so come, Lord Jesus. But remember now, see, I always got to tell you this, because I have to tell myself this. Jesus said, Father, I pray you don't take them out of the world, but you keep them from the evil one. Boy, I wish people would listen to that and understand that God's not the evil one. God's not the evil one. He's the good one. Verse 13. Watch this now. Then Jesus said to the centurion, now listen to this. This is so rich. And I want people to understand this. Then Jesus said to the centurion, let's say all this together. Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. Say it one more time. Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. See, that's the reason why we don't see great manifestations. People don't believe this. And see, God, listen very carefully, God will honor what you believe. He can only meet you at your belief level. He can only meet you at your belief level. And he's gracious and kind and merciful. And that's why he's gracious and kind and merciful to these mega churches, because they've reached a certain belief level and God's blessing what they believe. But as soon as you start saying, well, you don't know why God's not healing you, or God may not want you well, or you've got some sin in your life and that's not why he's healing you, you're going to get that because that's what you believe. See? The most important job we have as ministers is to get people's belief system changed. See, you got to believe differently because it's going to be the way you believe it, because God's respecting your belief. See, there were multitudes of people around, but the centurion's the only one who walked out of that bed healed because it was done according to what somebody believed. See, if we're going to change our circumstances, we got to change our beliefs. Amen. Are you listening to me? And we need a collective change of beliefs, because there's great promise in the unity of believing. Ephesians talks about till we all come to the unity of the faith. There's hardly any unity at all. That's why there's 16 million different churches in every town. Are you listening? Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. So what do we got to meditate on? We got to meditate on what it is. What am I believing? And if what I'm believing, does it line up with what Jesus says and what Jesus does and what the Word says? Are you listening? and his servant. Now, this is something that's fascinating to me, and I have to admit to you that it's kind of beyond my comprehension at this point. And his servant was healed that same hour. I have to believe that the servant was on board with what the centurion went to get Jesus to do. If the servant wasn't lining up with the belief of the centurion, it couldn't have worked, because the Bible says unless two agree, that won't work. Are you hearing me? So there had to be some level of faith on the part of the servant who was dreadfully tormented. And the servant, I believe, heard the word of God and heard about Jesus just like the centurion did. And Jesus said, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. Because you got to know something now, and this is something I had to learn the hard way. I had to learn the hard way. I went to the school of hard knocks on this. You can't make somebody believe the way you do. Say that with me. You can't make somebody believe the way that you do. I made the terrible mistake. We're talking about 27 years of ministry. One of the greatest mistakes I've made is people come in here to this building and I assume they believe what I believe or know what I know. And I'm not puffing myself up. I'm just simply saying most people don't see things the way I see them. And I had to understand that, and I had to be careful that I didn't embrace people too quickly, thinking that, you know, they're listening to my sermons, they got their Bibles open, they look like they're paying attention. But I had to be cautious, because very few people, listen to me very carefully, and I don't mean this in any level of arrogance at all, but very few people have the revelation of the epistles. Very few people understand that God's already done everything he'll do. There's nothing else to get. You can't get nothing else. He gave you the best. He gave you Jesus. Very few people understand that. Very few people, and the reason why I know they don't understand it is because they're still going to God to get something. And you got to go out and get what you've already got by faith and release it into your life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Boy, where'd that fit in? Oh, because you can't make somebody believe. I know, you know, in a marriage relationship, you know, one spouse may have a deeper revelation, and so you gotta work through that. And so I've learned to kind of set back a little bit and, you know, just appreciate what it is I'm called to do. Because I've had, even in our setting here, we've had people that's come to church and stayed for a while, they heard the radio program, and then they pulled back and left, you know. And I'm over that, because I got to do what I'm doing. If it means doing it in my kitchen, I'll do it. But I like doing it here in front of a group of believers, because it's uplifting for you and me. Amen. Isn't that cool? Amen. But you can't make somebody believe the way you believe. You can't do that. They got to get in there and find this stuff out for themselves. Oh, that's a good place for an amen.
Amen.
And his servant was healed that same hour. So let's stand up, and we're going to go and serve communion. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, you are God who did make the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Oh, oh, why do the nations rage? Why do they rage? Oh, Jesus is Lord. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He died for the sins of the whole world. In him we live and move and have our being. Praise God. I'm glad I got to come to church this morning. Let's come up and receive these elements this morning. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We can do what the centurion did, can't we?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
But only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. As we hold this wafer up, that represents his body that was broken for us, man. The body of the divine Son of God. Ooh, man. I'm telling you, boy. I'm telling you, that's one thing I've learned. I've learned and nowhere near understanding it all. Nowhere near. It's beyond. You'll never understand. You live all eternity and never understand it. The depth that God went to. That body was the body of the Son of God, the creator of us. The creator of us was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. Amen. Amen. That's the word of God. That's the word of God to us this morning. Amen. God's in here with us today, in the believers today. And we say that word back to him. We say, Father, say it with me. Say, Father,
Father,
I believe
and I honor
Jesus Christ. And I thank you that his body was broken for me. That those stripes that he bore,
he bore for me.
He bore that so I wouldn't have cancer.
I wouldn't have depression.
I wouldn't have sorrow,
but I'd have the peace of God.
By faith,
I believe that word,
and I act on it right now
by saying,
I am whole in Jesus' name. Peter said, we're not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the incorruptible blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, that blood covers the sins of everybody, past, present, and future. There's no condemnation. No. I rebuke guilt right now out of all of us. I rebuke it. I rebuke the devil telling you you could have done things better. We could all do things better. Oh, but listen to me very carefully, right out of the mouth of God to you. Listen to me very carefully. Nobody did it better than Jesus.
Amen.
And all you got to do to that accuser, all you got to do to those devils is tell them nobody did it like Jesus.
Amen.
And it's complete and it's done. And there was no sin in him. There was no guile in him.
Amen.
There was no iniquity in him. He was perfect. His blood was sinless and it was shed for us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Hold the cup up and say it. Say, Father,
I'm receiving this cup
that represents
the blood
of Jesus Christ
that cleanses me
from all unrighteousness.
I don't have guilt.
I won't receive guilt.
Blessed is the man
whom the Lord forgives
and forgets
all our trespasses.
We're free.
We're righteous.
And we're alive
because of the blood of Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Whoo!
Man, I'm glad to be back doing this. Glory be to God. Thank you all so much. Thank you. Thank you for understanding what we're doing. I want you to hear something. I want everybody to hear this. I am absolutely 100% pro-church. Any church that's lifting up Jesus Christ, I'm for them. I want everybody to hear that. But I have to do what God's called me to do, and I got to tell people some things that evidently a lot of people don't know. Amen?
Amen.
And I need to hear some things evidently I don't know. Praise God. So, amen. We're pro the body of Christ. We're not against the body of Christ. We want Sun Valley Church to grow by the multitudes. Amen. And we want our radio and internet audience to grow by the multitudes. Because I don't think they're coming in person. Amen. Father, we give you the glory, honor, and praise. I thank you for every saint in this building. They've been ministered to by your spirit. They're not the same as when they got here today because they know that you've been with them. That you're for them, that you're in them, and they're more than conquerors through him who loved us. In the holy and glorious and mighty name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Now listen, bring your sports jerseys next week.